Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. We already forgot who Natalie Klein was, but remembered when she lost her seat last weekend. We've got the skinny from Salt Lake County's GOP convention for you, plus everything you need to know about the Coyotes' move to Salt Lake City, your neighbor, the first-round draft pick, and potholes. Executive producer Emily Means is here, and we read the news so you don't have to. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Ali Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, Emily Means.
Good morning, Ali Vallarta.
Before we get into the news of the week, I want to give a quick membership pitch. If you listen to this show, even somewhat regularly, if you like this show, if we help you feel more informed, more connected to the Wasatch Front, more connected to each other, I would love if you considered becoming a CityCast Salt Lake member. You can do that at membership.citycast.fm. You'll see the option for Salt Lake City there. That's us. That's our show. A couple bucks a month goes a long way in sustaining us. What else?
All the cool kids are doing it. You would be in very good company.
That's
true. We get a little alert every time someone becomes a member and gives us a real dopamine rush on this team. So, yeah, if you rely on this show and our sister newsletter, Hey Salt Lake, for information about community news and happenings, please consider supporting us.
Yeah. And if you can't do that right now, if the time isn't right, we totally get it. And we still love you. And we're glad that you're here.
True.
Okay. Let's talk about Natalie Klein, the end of the road for a woman who I was so happy to forget, honestly, existed, but she's back in the news.
So state school board member Natalie Klein lost her seat this past weekend at Salt Lake County's Republican convention. She represents the south end of the county. She's kind of based in the Bluffdale area. And you probably know her for her greatest hits, including cyberbullying a high school student athlete. Natalie Klein suggested that this athlete was transgender, and that resulted in the student receiving violent threats from Klein's followers. So, it was a big old mess.
Ultimately, needed a police presence, I believe, at the student's home.
Yep.
Her parents were furious. They're still furious. The governor was furious. Everyone was mad.
And that was a moment when we all came together as a community across partisan lines, because the legislature, our supermajority Republican legislature, censured Natalie Klein. In the end, that was basically a slap on the wrist, but she got hers at convention this weekend.
I mean, what's interesting about this is, like, you know, when the legislature was deciding what to do about her behavior on the school board, which we should say, like, you mentioned sort of the event that sent it over the edge. But prior to that, there had been, like, multiple investigations, a bunch of hotline calls about her behavior. She had basically bullied, like, school board staff members. I mean, things were ugly in the run-up to this. And when it came to the legislature's quote-unquote desk, there were a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats and independents and general Utahns, who were hoping they would do something about this, right, beyond the slap on the wrist. And the message that we got from the legislature was really, well, we're going to let the voters decide what to do. And there was a lot of frustration. Like, remember, was it the Senate Democrats or the
House Democrats? They really wanted to push this further because the legislature has some authority to impeach state school board members, apparently. Right. And they did not use that authority.
But they did hold a press conference at the Capitol after that was like, we're so disappointed that, you know, we didn't impeach her, whatever.
Right.
And This is so interesting the way it's kind of shook out, Emily, because at the time, I definitely was among the people who were like, I think let the voters decide is kind of a cop-out from the legislature, especially in a state that is gerrymandered. Like, let the voters decide is kind of a hilarious thing to say to voters when, like, our districts look like amoebas, right? Like, you're like, okay. But at the same time, like, sitting on the other side of all of this now, she's lost her seat. The voters did decide. They're very much her people. Like, we'll get into that. But convention delegates, like, I was surprised by this. Like, I thought they were going to be like, yeah, Natalie, that's our girl. We love this behavior. Thinking about what kind of precedent it would send for the governor and the legislature to remove a Utah State school board member because they don't like their behavior, I don't know that I would be terribly comfortable with it. Like, that could so easily swing the other direction if it was, I don't know, someone like current Republican candidate for governor Phil Lyman, who, like, says a lot of really wild stuff and, like, probably wouldn't put it past trying to get rid of someone because he disagrees with their philosophy.
Yeah, I see that point. And I also feel like this feels more definitive. And there was talk about, like, not wanting to make her a martyr. And if the legislature impeached her, that would just elevate her in the eyes of her people. And to your point, her people removed her. And I was also surprised by this, Allie, because the Tribune, they're reporting from this weekend's convention, they said that delegates selected someone just as radical as her ideologically for a different school board seat. So to me, it's not that they don't agree with Natalie Klein. It's that she made them look bad. And so they punished her for it.
Well, she made them look like bad people. And that's the thing that I feel like is kind of insipid about this, is like, don't be fooled. Natalie Klein did not lose her seat because the delegates at the GOP County Convention this weekend, which we should say, we're talking about the delegates at this convention like they reflect a pretty growing minority of the party, which is far right. And that's because that's the case. Like, we know that generally at GOP conventions, the folks that show up tend to be more radical. I mean, they booed Governor Cox,
who was
very popular in his party. Like, they booed him to the point where he said, can I please just get through this speech? Can you just let me talk?
You can boo me later.
You can boo me when I'm off the stage. So it's like, that's the, you know, that's the scene we should set here, which is why we're talking about, you know, our surprise that these folks got rid of someone who booing was kind of her whole thing, right? Getting on Facebook and like griping.
Not disagreeing and, better?
No, not disagreeing better. Apparently she didn't get the memo. But it's not like, oh, we don't think that we should be singling out children who are trans and telling them they can't play sports. We don't think, like, we don't have any problem with your philosophy. We just don't like that you embarrassed us. Your lack of tact embarrassed us. And I think that's such a Utah thing because, like, the Utah way is so, like, do whatever you want but be nice about it. And I'm like, it's same difference to me, y'all. Yeah. Whether you're quote-unquote tactful or not, like, if the goal is to single out kids and, like, impede their growth, I'm not into it.
Right. And I was kind of struck by this quote from the candidate who won, Amanda Bullinger. She got more than 60% of delegates' vote. She says, the outcome means that people care about kids. And I was like,
give me a break.
I don't know that that's a fair characterization, Ms. Bullinger.
Yeah, no. People care about kids, period. Pregnant pause. Anyway, here's some more books we should ban.
Right, right. And Allie, I'm a chronic comment reader. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No.
I think this is really something I need to talk about in therapy. But, you know, I just kind of want to get a sense of what people with, you know, a different perspective than me are thinking about this. And of course, like, you and I, we don't agree. We don't align with Natalie Klein. But my God, the comments were there and lifting this woman up for her great work protecting children and, like, you know, pushing back against woke leftist educators and all of that. So, like, these people exist and they are they're growing, you know, in power and sentiment. And I don't know what our next election will bring, you know, or even our next legislative session when it comes to feeding these beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up disagree better jokingly, but it is interesting. And this is a conversation we're actually going to have next week on this show to preview that a little bit. But when the governor launched this disagree better campaign, which basically says, you know, we can disagree, but we can do it nicely, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel like it's interesting to see him get shouted down at the Salt Lake County convention. Because first of all, like Salt Lake County, home to a fair amount of moderates, right? Like this is like kind of, that should be his ground. And it's like, maybe instead of doing these videos with like some random Democratic governor from Maryland about how we should disagree better, like you should be really focusing on your own party. In your own backyard where like you're getting booed. Like that feels like that should be where that conversation is being held.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Invite everyone over to the governor's mansion.
Make some cookies. Kick on the jazz game.
Oh, man. Speaking on how moderate or not moderate the Salt Lake County Republican Party is, Allie, I did want to highlight one other race that was kind of interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And that is State Senator Daniel Thatcher, who is looking to get the hell out of the legislature and onto the Salt Lake County Council.
Can't blame him. Salt Lake County Council, way more fun.
Right.
Honestly, more power than the legislature.
And, you know, for him, he said that he wanted to get down to like that community level. It's also the case that he has often been the one Republican on the Senate floor, you know, standing up for trans kids. So I'm sure he's gotten a lot of heat from his colleagues on the Hill. But delegates at the convention went for his opponent, Carlos Moreno. So I don't know anything about Carlos Moreno. I was taking a look at his website and he seems pretty measured. But again, like Thatcher is generally considered a more moderate candidate. So I have to think that Moreno is a little less moderate than Thatcher.
Well, the thing about Moreno is that he also has the support of Dave Alvord, who is the seat holder of the seat that Moreno and Thatcher are competing for. So he's got a pretty big endorsement there. Dave Alvord, I would say, kind of also a Natalie Klein figure, Salt Lake County Council edition. But what happens on the county council, I mean, we'll certainly continue to talk about that race in particular as we get closer to Election Day, because Salt Lake County Council kind of rules our lives here in the Valley, home to a third of the state's population. They have a big budget. They manage a lot of our resources. They manage our homelessness funding. They, like, are where our health department decisions come from generally, like lots going on there. Any other highlights or lowlights from the GOP county convention we should talk about before we move on?
No, but I am still cracking up at Spencer Cox getting booed there. I can only imagine what's going to happen to him at the state GOP convention at the end of the month. That's a tough crowd for him for sure.
That is a tough crowd. Yeah, and they always do that in the Maverick Center, and it does really give this Coliseum sort of feel.
Yeah.
Like to go to that and just get a Diet Coke and sit in the upper stands and watch, you're like, whoa, it's Hunger Games.
eating your popcorn.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I think the most important date for people to know is the primary is June 25th. So coming up in a couple of months here, and we're in the middle of election season, people.
Democrats will be on ballots, Republicans will be on ballots. We'll get there and we'll get through it. Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's Day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea. very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmons has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmons or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmons or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Big news this weekend. Evolving news. Which is, we went in just basically 7 days from, Ryan Smith is poking around at the Arizona Coyotes NHL team to, well, he bought the Coyotes and they're coming to Utah.
That escalated quickly.
Can you imagine Emily being able to spend $1.2 billion just like over the weekend?
Wait, I'm sorry. So you're telling me this man has billions of dollars to spend to fund his dreams? Then maybe he doesn't need public funding to do that?
Ay. Listen, I abstain. I have griped so hard about these stadium deals in Salt Lake, and we have weeks and weeks of shows that you can go back and listen to if you're in the mood for that with me. I will say today, I'm going to bring an optimistic view to this news because, as I've said in the past, I really do love hockey. I think this is cool. I don't want to pay for their stadium, but I like the idea that this team is coming.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm with you.
Can we get in the zone?
I'm following you.
Okay, let's talk about this deal that happened over the weekend because it is kind of confusing and very interesting. So Ryan and Ashley Smith, who currently own the Utah Jazz, the Royals, the Real Salt Lake, like whatever, they are offering to buy the Arizona Coyotes for a cool $1.2 billion. And what they basically get for that is just the hockey department. So like we get the coach, we get the players, kinda. I mean, like any professional sports team, the players are, all their contracts are in different kind of places and they're free agents and whatever else. But basically, like, we get the bones of the team, okay? Literally, because we get the people. The current owner of the Arizona Coyotes, whose name is Alex Meruelo, he gets to keep all their intellectual property. The name, the logo, the trademarks, and then he also gets to keep ownership of the AHL team, which is the Tucson Roadrunners, which is basically like what the Grizzlies are here. That's the Tucson Roadrunners. Wait, so like the feeder team.
The teams are the Roadrunners and the Coyotes.
Isn't that kind of cute?
That's really cute.
Yeah, I think it's cute too. Ugh. Especially because it's like, I like the idea that the Roadrunners are like, you know, they want to be Coyotes. They're like, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we should say, like, part of the reason this is all happening is because voters in Tempe, Arizona did not want to pay for Alex Meruelo to get a brand new stadium for the Coyotes. They're currently playing at the Arizona State University, like, arena. So they share it with a college team, even though they're a National Hockey League team.
Yeah.
Because voters were like, oh, we love you, but we would rather fund other things. So this guy, Alex Meruelo, he is going to keep pursuing his dream of building a $3 billion arena and entertainment district. Basically what we're about to build, Ryan Smith, in downtown Salt Lake. He wants it in North Phoenix. And if he can get that done, he does get to resurrect the franchise. So he has 5 years to do it. So like 5 years from now, we could have the quote unquote Arizona Coyotes here, but then they could pop back up down there as the Arizona Coyotes.
Okay.
That's like part of the deal. It all seems very quixotic. Like, yeah. Okay, sir, sure. How far is this deal gone? Well, the NHL executive committee approved the move. It's going to now be voted on by the board of governors, which is basically all the different owners of the 32 teams. Uh-huh. And they're expected to do it before the end of this week because the Stanley Cup playoffs start on Saturday. Yeah. And they don't want any of this news to overshadow that because advertisers.
That would be embarrassing.
No. That would be embarrassing. Right. Right. So that's where we're at in terms of like the deal.
Okay.
That's how we got here.
Well, Allie, I saw this story from the Salt Lake Tribune and like three sports reporters from the Tribune. I think it was Andy Larson, Kevin Reynolds, and Alex Vejar. They were kind of breaking down like how Ryan Smith played this perfectly. Like, he saw his opportunity with the Coyotes' future kind of like being up in the air. He initiated the process to bring some NHL team to Utah. And then, like you said, he's offering to buy the team for $1.2 billion, which is more than double what Forbes says the team is worth. So he essentially made them an offer they could not refuse and made his childhood dream a reality.
Yeah. Except, I will say, there was a story in Hockey Feed, which is kind of like a sports blog, that Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, that the board of governors is, quote, hella pissed with him right now.
Hella pissed.
Because of how this has all gone down. Like, they think it's kind of been a little embarrassing.
Well, so he might not be walking into a very friendly boardroom.
Hard to say. Okay. Another big question in terms of the Coyotes moving here is where and when will they start playing?
Yeah.
This is what fans want to know. They are going to play at the Delta Center, though the NHL is saying Delta Center needs some upgrades. Mm-hmm. There are sightline issues. Hockey games have been played in the Delta Center in the past, but the Coyotes are going to start playing in the Delta Center in downtown Salt Lake City this upcoming season, which means October.
So Ryan Smith has got to turn this thing around real quick.
Yeah. I mean, I think the NHL, they've given him some leeway to make the necessary upgrades. Like, he'll do what he can this summer. And then in the next offseason, he'll have more time to do more. But then I also think now that we've got this team, we're probably going to see movement pretty quick here in terms of what the new entertainment district does look like downtown. I mean, he released that kind of shiny looking image of what the new stadium would look like. He's got, I think, 10 blocks to play with that the legislature's given him. The Salt Lake City Council needs to approve the half a percentage sales tax increase to fund all of this. So now, like, God, they have such big feet on their necks right now in terms of, like, just passing that and not getting in the way of all of this. And I feel for them. As we've discussed in the past, I feel strongly that that vote should be turned over to Salt Lake City residents. But all that to say, the NHL season is October through April. You know what else is October through April? The NBA season.
Oh, no. How's it going to work?
I don't
know.
Wait.
Okay. New proposal. The Yotes play at the Gallivan Plaza Ice Rink. Can we make it happen, Ryan?
I don't know.
We need to activate Gallivan Plaza.
Is that how good they are? I did look at tickets because I was like, how much does it cost to go see the Coyotes right now in Arizona? Their last game is actually tonight, Wednesday night. They're playing the Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers in Tempe. And this is absolutely not the normal price of tickets. But for tonight, they start at $500 and go up to like $1,600. And I have to wonder if that's because it's the goodbye game.
Oh.
Isn't that sad?
Maybe. But I'll tell you what, Allie, there's no way I'm watching hockey for $500 a seat.
Okay. Should we predict the cost of tickets, like the average cost right now, and then we can revisit this clip in October?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think?
I'm going $77.
Okay. I think that's solid. I mean, for a Jazz game, we're spending like upward of $150 for lower bowl at a Jazz game.
Yeah. If you go typically day of, you might get in around $120 with fees. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's about
so
$150.
I'm thinking since this is going to be something fresh in our city, less than a Jazz game. So yeah, probably I'm going to call it 100.
I mean, one of the things that's interesting about playing in the Delta Center is that when they retrofit it for hockey, capacity drops down to about 10K. Mm-hmm. For a concert, mm-hmm. it's closer to like 13,000. I think jazz games, yeah. 18,000. 10,000 people is not very big. No. So what's kind of cool, I mean, if you think about what it's like to be a player for the Arizona Coyotes, you have spent the past however many years with an uncertain future. Like, this whole stadium, no stadium situation in Tempe has been going on forever. It's been so dragged out. They deserve some stability, and they deserve a fan base. Like, you know, these guys play hard. They work hard. Like, so I do bet they get pretty full crowds for their first few seasons when they're playing in there and capacity is 10,000. And that could be energetically, like, really good for the team.
Yeah, for sure. Well, welcome Coyotes, or whatever we end up calling you.
Which we're renaming them because we do not get the intellectual property. It's definitely, if I had to put money on it, it'll be the Utah something.
Good bet.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Smith tweeted and was like, what would we name, what would you want to name an NHL team if it came to Utah a week ago? And it had more than 1,000 responses and 3 million views. So do you think he just like is sitting there with a bunch of SurveyMonkey data being like, okay, we got Blizzard, the
SurveyMonkey, huh? You don't think Qualtrics?
Qualtrics owns SurveyMonkey. Future Ally here. SurveyMonkey and Qualtrics are absolutely not the same thing. Sorry. What if they were the Utah SurveyMonkeys?
Why not?
Honestly, the Utah Qualtrics with an X would be like kind of a sick hockey name.
Yeah, but you can't have more than one X or things get dicey there.
That's
or the legislature
true.
Legislates you into oblivion.
They'll put up a billboard saying you're porn. Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten mom's day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
All right, shout outs.
Let's do it. You go first.
Allie, Salt Lake City had their second pothole palooza. You remember last year when they announced their big pothole palooza campaign? They were going to spend a whole week filling in potholes. They did the same thing this spring.
And but they didn't call it pothole palooza, right?
No.
They just called it like pothole fest.
Yeah, like the week of the pothole. And they filled almost 7,000 potholes in 1 week. So what I learned is that potholes are worse in the spring because water seeps into the cracks in the road, and then overnight it freezes and expands, and then it melts, and then it freezes and it melts and it freezes and it melts. And so the road just kind of erodes into potholes. So that's why things are so dicey out there. And I guess I just wanted to shout out our city workers for filling those potholes for us. Yeah. If you missed Spring Pothole Week, you can still report one. And so I will put a link to the form in our show description so you can get those potholes filled.
That's right.
What's your shout out, Allie?
I have to give a shout out to Alyssa Peely. She was drafted into the WNBA on Monday night, the 8th pick drafted by the Minnesota Lynx. We shouted out Alyssa Peely in our annual Naughty Nice episode, which aired in, December 2023. And the reason we shouted her out is because she was ESPN Player of the Week after scoring 37 points against South Carolina. God. Which, to be clear, 37 points against South Carolina, the team that went on to win the NCAA championship, okay? Undefeated. Wow. Like, they didn't win the game and she still scored 37 points. Dawn Staley, the coach, said she could not be stopped, and she was right. We said the name on everybody's lips would be Alyssa Peely, and it is. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to us. This is the University of Utah's third only ever WNBA first round pick in the history of the school's basketball program, women's basketball program. And Alyssa Peely has just such a cool story. Like, she was born in a town in Alaska that is 350 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Like, think there are days with 24 hours of daylight in the summer and 24 hours of darkness in the winter. She has been playing for Utah. Like, everywhere Utah travels to play, she draws these enormous crowds. She is Samoan and Inupiaq. And, like, there aren't a lot of Polynesian or Indigenous women's basketball stars. And so she, like, has developed this incredible fan base. It's been so amazing to have her in Salt Lake. And I think we just wish her the absolute best. Freaking shout out.
This year especially, we're really celebrating our women athletes and their great success, especially over the March Madness tournament that just wrapped up, because that was women's basketball blew men's basketball out of the water in terms of views.
Not even close. Yeah. For anyone who's like, wait, what draft? What's happening? Here's the way I would contextualize this. Number one pick, Caitlin Clark. Heard of her? Number 8 pick, Alyssa Peely.
Hell yeah.
Pretty Go freaking Utah. Cool. Go Utah. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. Have a great day, Emily.
Have a great day, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.